I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
We need to talk about Mark Carano.
Yes.
Forever known as the Trash Man. Don't get
Trash
mad,
Man. I tell you everybody what, knows, Mickie James, I just love her. I'll just say that.
Everybody knows the story by now that Mark Carano, who had been a big muckety-muck up at WWE in terms of talent relations, one of the stars of Total Bellas at some point in time.
Yeah. Do you remember him on there? Did you see him?
Yeah, he was ubiquitous. I mean, he was everywhere on that show, and he was
okay. See, I never watched it, dude. So I have no idea. I didn't realize he was on there that much.
This was a dramatic moment on Total Bellas. Eva Marie decides to dye her hair red, and she doesn't tell anybody, but she does. And then, ta-da, cliffhanger! Will Mark Carano like it? He comes back. Well, you're lucky. I liked it. It's good. And that was the end of the cliffhanger.
Oh,
it was
wow.
That was basically what would happen. Mark was cast as a natural heel, which he is in real life.
Apparently, clearly. Yeah.
And he was let go, of course, by the WWE because it was found that he was the one responsible for sending Mickie James' leftover gear in a trash bag to her after the company had let her go. The reason we know about this is because she published this on social media and everybody saw it. Stephanie and Triple H were appalled and immediately said that the person who did this was no longer with us. And then eventually it was ratted out that it was Mark Carano.
Yeah.
So...
But it was. Did you see the? I think it was Laurinaitis and Triple H put out the exact word for word tweet.
Well, I'm going to say at least
I know it's a shocker. I didn't mean to stun you there.
At least they have some message discipline at that place now.
Yeah,
somebody
I
going
guess.
Off this direction. Somebody going over. At least they're in the Stalingrad party line now.
Yeah,
everybody's marching to the same beat for some reason. And there's like a lot of different layers. First of all. Nobody's weeping for Mark Carano. Nobody's going, oh, it's so unfair. Can't you give him another chance? It was just one moment. Nobody's doing that.
As a matter of fact, I've seen the exact freaking opposite every time I see something about him.
It's karma. It's Schadenfreude. It's destiny. It's whatever it is. And people are like, fuck that guy. Nobody's standing up for him going, no, Mark was really great to me. And I think the company needs, no. He was awful. He was terrible the entire time. He was always the bearer of bad news. He was a little wormy bastard. And the company's better off without him being there.
I mean, he was what? Senior director of talent relations? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So he's probably been there. How long has he been there? Pretty good while, right?
Like 20 years or something like that. I'm
how
not
does
sure
that how happen, it. Man?
Well,
how does that? I mean,
that's the other part of this is the clutch the pearls part of it. Like, oh, we had no idea that people were being sent home their stuff in garbage.
Right.
And you've seen all the stories from people like, yeah, that happened to me. Yeah, sure.
You've probably seen the same tweets. You may have seen more. I've only seen a handful of who was it besides Mickie James, Darren Young, Fred Rosser. He tweeted something about Carano and somebody else. Somebody was fairly prominent. Former person, of course, from WWE, but I can't remember who it was. But man, it's like they didn't take long to come out of the woodwork. I mean, it was kind of some obscure people that were doing it, but they were people that you knew, you know.
Well, that's part of it. Is it like the company is just appalled? I'm just appalled to find out that I'm so shocked to find out there's gambling going on at Rick's place. I had no idea.
Yeah.
When this was, I mean. This was probably standard. I mean, I don't know if Vince ever said it. God damn it, send it to him in a garbage bag. But he might have. That might have happened at some point in time.
Who knows, man?
Where's the story? There's that wormy bastard.
Yeah, you know, when I saw him, God, can I want to say who he looks like. And it's somebody that probably one other person that watches this and listens to this knows. But you and I have worked with this person before, and that's who he looks like.
I don't know. Who is it? I can't think of it.
Oh, come on, man.
He looks
you
like
don't
a
remember who that looks like? Come on.
That's not her. Well, now that you mention it. I got to be careful about that one because he was on my list of guys who signed up who gave me a reference on the job. So I got to be careful Ooh. About that one.
Yeah, well, funny as shit. Okay, well, that's cool.
Reading from Sports Kita, Trash Bag Gate is trending on social media because the way WWE sent Mickey James the first time.
Trash Bag Gate.
I do love the legacy of Watergate is that everything that has any scandal involved with it has to have gate attached to it. That's like the best thing.
Yeah. It's just everything, dude.
You know, like eventually the Matt Gaetz thing is going to be Playground Gate at some point.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, what is that? Watergate wasn't a gate. That's just part of the name of the hotel. That's what's so funny about all this. Everything's a gate, but it's weird. Yeah.
Mark Carano held the position of senior director of talent relations for many years in the WWE. However, a recent WWE shakeup at the corporate level brought a change in his daily activities. This is all part of that Nick Khan guy joining the party and kind of allegedly changing the culture and all that stuff. And that's why I think Mark Carano was probably on thin ice anyway, and they were like, oh, this will be a good opportunity for us to go ahead and dose this guy. Blah, blah. So they got rid of his ass.
Yeah.
John Laurinaitis, who was spearheaded by the Talent Relations Department between 2002 and 2012, was rehired by the WWE in his previous role, of course. Again, another star of Total Divas and Total Bellas. They're replacing one star with another star.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
This raised doubts over Mark Carano's WWE future. Finally, as reported by Sports Kita, Carano was fired in the aftermath of the trash bag incident. I don't know how long he was, but it seems like he was there about 20 years ago. WWE superstar Gail Kim was one of the first members of the
Gail Kim, community. That's who it was. That's the other one I saw. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's in the trash bag club.
She laid Carano out, if I'm not mistaken, on what she wrote. More, really almost more so than Mickey did. Mickey kind of danced around it, but kind of said it at the same time. But I think Gail Kim just kind of came out and said, Mark Carano's an asshole.
I know this is what Gail Kim Irvine wrote from her Twitter account. Gail Kim, it's me. I know the WWE trolls are going to come for me, but Mark was not a good human being. What if you're coming after her, you're like the biggest WWE mark in the world. If you're standing up for this asshole, and I literally mean the word mark, if you're really like,
yes,
how dare you? How dare you go after Mark Carano? You can attack anybody you want to in this company, but this son of a bitch, you need to be good to. No. I know the WWE trolls are going to come for me, but Mark was not a good human being. I don't think he should necessarily get blamed for this incident, but I hope this karma makes him realize and wake up. Be a nice human and maybe things will change for you.
See, she all but says he's an asshole.
Darren Young, Fred Rosser, says, I was constantly harassed by him about losing my job, and I just stayed quiet. Or I said quiet, Q-U-I-T-E. Yeah, again, that's why it's funny. Carano was not the only WWE official to be forced out of the company. PW Insider reported that Nicole Zioli and veteran referee John Cohn were released from their respective roles. I thought John Cohn was... Yeah, he's still going to be a referee, but he's not.
I was going to say, I think he's just – they just let him go as the whatever his title was, but keep him as a ref, yeah.
But it's – I again, the idea that, oh, we had no idea that this was going on. We had no idea that talent was
being disrespected. Come on.
Mark has to be let go for this. This is unacceptable. No, it's all because of social media and the story got out, and it was embarrassing to them, so they had to pretend like they were clutching their pearls.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the airplane had issues, like mechanical issues in Saudi Arabia is the reason they couldn't get back in time and why it was delayed so long. Just
that's what the deal
FYI.
Was.
FYI.
Well, again, during that particular one, they could never get their story straight. At least on this one, like I said, they're doing the Politburo thing and they're towing the company line. They do have some sort of – whoever's in communications, corporate communications at the company now, and I don't know if Nick Khan has a hand in that or not, at least they're kind of at least singing from the same hymnal.
Yeah, they are.
Kudos for being able to perpetuate the bullshit.
And Laurinaitis and Triple H are in perfect harmony, by the way.
Exactly. Now, have you seen the Stone Cold Steve Austin, the biography on A&E?
No, I have not.
It's very good. And as alluded to by Bruce Mitchell, there is no Vince Russo. It is Russo-free.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
The man who supposedly created the character of Stone Cold Steve Austin, put the words in his mouth, apparently was not deemed as being good enough to be in this documentary, which I think is pretty hilarious, and I'm sure he's belly aching over it. over on the Realm Network at some point in time.
Hold on to me and my tissue.
I know, right? It's the saddest thing ever. Bro, I did it all. Bro. Bitch.
But, yeah.
There's a variety. I was watching some of it because they went through some of it in the wee hours this morning. A lot of WWE programming on A&E right now, including that Lost Treasures thing, which is kind of weird. Yes.
Yeah, I never watched that. No, wait a minute. Did you see the Austin thing yet? You have or have not?
Yeah, I have seen
it. You did see? Okay.
It's very good. They have Vince. They've got Mick Foley. They've got members of Steve's family, like his brothers and his sister.
Pillman Jr., is he in there by any chance?
Pillman Jr. does not make an appearance.
I was just wondering.
None of Steve's ex-wives make the cut on this one. His kids don't make the cut.
Not even Deborah?
Deborah did not. And I know you've seen the pictures of Steve McMichael now, right?
I think so, yeah.
Steve McMichael has been diagnosed with ALS and is down to 120 pounds or something. I mean, it's not 120, but he's a lot lower than we're used to
looking at him at.
It's very, very sad. And they're doing all sorts of GoFundMes and stuff. And he needs, I think the Bears, as cheap as that fucking organization is, they're buying
him.
They're buying him a big wheelchair, which is you can do with the sippy straw. You can control it, and
they need to. Money. Yes, good for them though. But yes, they need to.
So now you're saying
this son of a bitch wasn't like a part of a huge part of one of the best defenses ever in the NFL. Right. Come on now.
Those people in Chicago were like, "Oh, we're going to take care of the 85 Bears. We're going to take care of the 85 Bears." And most of them did get jobs.
You know when they were saying this? In like 86.
That's right. That's exactly right. Although, to their credit, the Chicago Bears fans are still pissed at Coach for not putting Walter Payton in to get that touchdown and letting Fridge score that touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they're still salty about that. So yeah, I'm happy that they're pissed off at Ditka about that.
They don't – yeah, well – yeah, I get it. That's why I'm so torn about this. I get it. But at some point, you got to go, okay. All right. Kind of the way, I don't know if I ever said this to you, but it's kind of the way I felt about Roy Williams when he denied coming back to Carolina that first time, I was kind of like
– I was okay with it.
I don't know. I had my hopes up so high that he was going to do it. I just thought it was like, there's no way he's not going to turn this down. I mean, come on. I mean, look at and when he turned it down, I'm like, oh, my God.
It was part of the mythology, if you were a Carolina fan, is that one day the great Dean Smith would go to the mountaintop and he would pick Roy Williams and Roy Williams would take the job. And it just didn't happen that way. And I was like, Roy's in a good place in Kansas. He's doing very well. I wouldn't leave. And he didn't. And then the second time, he wasn't in such a good place in Kansas, and he decided to take off.
Yeah, well, I understood later, but initially that's how I was, and I was like, and I kind of had a little grudge going on. I felt like, I almost felt like the institute itself, Carolina, because I think the campus, the school itself was shocked when he said no. So, but yeah, that's what I kind of feel like, the way they would be doing
when I was
that.
When I was driving for Uber, I was up in Chapel Hill the night that they lost that game to Villanova in the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
When that kid hit that shot at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I came around the corner to go back to campus, and you would have thought a terrorist attack had happened. There were kids sitting on the sidewalk with their heads in their hands, people dazed looks on their faces. That was the most dazed I've ever seen that entire campus.
God, see, you were there. You're like the anti celebration, when they had the big celebrations with burning furniture and shit like that.
I was there the next year when it came around and they won the national championship. So I was there for the craziness the next year. And by the way,
you ran the gamut then, man.
But that was one of the worst national championship games that was ever played. The referees could not figure out how to call that. They whistled. Remember that whole situation?
It was a herky jerky. Yes.
It sucked. It was a very bad national championship game.
I'll take it. But yeah.
There's the story. We're showing it right now about Steve McMichael, former Chicago Bears Super Bowl champion, diagnosed with ALS. And they have, it's just disgusting. Between the National Football League, and he's applied for help, but of course, he's being slow rolled because they always do that. And anything else, they're having to go, they're having to, put GoFundMe pages up for this guy. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
Let me see what.
How about you know, Vince? Has Vince stepped up at all? I mean, I know he wasn't really part of Vince's, but you know, he bought WCW. He knows that McMichael is. You know, you can tell. You say what you want about him, but he was a big part of that. Damn,
he was.
You know that of wrestling there for a while, and I maybe they should step up a little bit. You know, I mean, it'd I know, nice. Like I said.
It's
that's crazy though.
GoFundMe.com/Team Mongo. It's just look for Team Mongo on GoFundMe, and they're up to they have a $176,000 goal. They've raised almost 128, so it's only in a couple of days. So he'll probably get there. But
I hope so, man. That's just sad.
It is extremely sad. Speaking of sad, did you hear the news from the gaming marathon boys?
No, I did not. I saw the news. They had like the little thing about it, but I didn't read it.
Their motherfuckers quitting on me. They're stopping. They're like, sometime in August is going to be their final podcast.
What?
A bunch of assholes. Just a bunch of dicks. All these years they've trolled me for all these years, and now they're going to tap out.
Oh my God, man! They are tapping out. Not only tapping out, it seems like they're tapping out to like John Cena's bullshit hold. You know,
that's right. That's what you guys are doing. You're tapping out to whatever stupid ass version of the FU,
whatever he called
it is. Yeah,
the FU, the stupid FU,
whatever they call that. The stupidest shit. You guys, and I told them, I said, look, you guys, if you guys quit, Mark Ronick wins. You cannot let Mark Ronick win by quitting. And they were like, well, we don't care. And then Sharrock's like, I got two kids and they're little kids. I'm like, you have priorities. You give away one of those kids. And I don't know if you do any mini with it or rock, paper, scissors, whichever one's cuter. Just give that one away. Some family will love it and raise it because they're both very cute kids. Just give, and you have one and you can do your podcast.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if Twitter can handle all of the outlet of Dennis the Cynic's bullshit. They have to have that release valve so that some of it can flow freely, because Twitter will explode if this guy sends all of his shit through that medium.
So you're looking at the full spectrum on this, which is
the whole
good
thing. I'm pissed
yeah
off.
You're looking at everything. You're looking at beyond the whole gaming marathon podcast itself. So I like this. I like your rationale.
Now James Good is in a different situation because he's just, you know, baseball card boy. He's just doing I'm just doing another rip here on YouTube, everybody. Look, this is fantastic. I got another Chris. Here's a typo on this Christian Yelich card. It's worth $400,000. I mean, just like it's ridiculous. You know the gimmick with this guy is that he can't pick one team. He likes basically every team. It's like on opening day, I was doing a little voice message on Messenger. I go, hey, it's James Good here. I'm a huge baseball fan. So good luck to our Yankees, Red Sox, Reds, Rangers, Diamondbacks, A's, Mariners, Braves, Marlins, and also the Cardinals. So and that's like you'll see a game and you go, well, unfortunately, our Cardinals beat our Cubs today. So, but we're going to be back tomorrow and yay. He can't pick one team. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in his DNA. I have no idea. But I can't believe these guys are super pissing me off by quitting. And I'm so mad. And I'm not even a gamer. I'm not a huge gamer, of course. I don't right. play the games. But I just find it to be disgusting that these guys would tap out. We're in the middle of a war here. We're fighting battles. This thing is not over. We have to continue to podcast until the day after Mark Ronick dies. Then look, we can wrap up.
Just because we don't mention it every single time does not mean everything's done and over with.
Right. When after one day after the last Mark and Lowell show, when a meteor crashes into Earth and wipes out whatever studio they're thinking about, I love the 80s or whatever the fuck they're doing, they're reminiscing about how great the Breakfast Club was. One day after that, that's when we all do our final episode and go, okay, we're done podcasting. Bye, everybody. That was the plan. And I feel like they've let us down on this plan. I think it just sounds like you agree with me.
Yeah, sounds like it. I'm shocked, man. So let me ask this. Why August? Why are they giving us such a
three-month
thing?
I think dipshit has to go back to pretending that he teaches school in August or September or something.
That makes sense.
I got my two little kids, and the wife wants me to have another one. I'm like, how can she? But God what? Damn. Yes. I'm like, first of all, go get a vasectomy. You got two. Those are beautiful children. Stop right there. Let's not push our luck. Everybody knows the couple that's had two or three kids, and they go ahead and whoops, there's the last one, and the last one's ugly as shit. You can't. There's no avoiding it.
Dang.
There's no avoiding it. It's last kid syndrome. That's what I call it. LKS. It's last kid syndrome. He needs to avoid it and stop. And I don't understand. I don't understand why she. And it, apparently the wife wants to have another one. I'm like, wait, what are you doing? I don't know. Weren't the labor pains awful enough and having your guts spilled in front of the world and possibly pooping yourself? Yeah. Give me another order of that.
Yeah. Jesus. Dude, I mean, God bless him, but you know. Mm.
And you're gonna deprive the world of beating up on that stupid acid? I don't understand that. We're being deprived of years and years and years of hilarious terrorist jokes and stoner jokes about acid.
See, well, hold on a second. Yeah. See, I'm brainstorm idea.
Yeah.
So if this is what they want to do, then we can start bringing a Sid on here as like our little Larry Bud Melman, you know.
That's horrible. That's a horrible idea. That's that sounds like one of those things that's really good in concept, and he's going to fuck up everything because that's what he does.
Come on, that's what they told Letterman when he had that idea about Larry Bud Melman.
Yeah, we don't see it. We don't think this Bud Melman guy is going to work. And what's the deal with that guy? What does he do? I don't know. He just shows up and he's stupid. That's what he does. That's the point.
Toast on a stick, dude. Come on.
The suits always talk you out of everything. The suits always talk you out of all the cool shit forever and ever.
Yes.
So I'm super pissed at those guys who are leaving and, you know, congratulations on your run and thanks for plugging our show, yada, yada, yada. But see, you don't be a bunch of quitters, you bunch of pussies.
Well, you know, I'm going to say glass half full here. Since they're giving us the August deadline or whatever, there's time to rethink things between now and then.
Talk them out of it, you think?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. They might be dead set on it. I don't know.
You know, they're also huge pussies. So they're just going to go ahead and, okay, we're going to do it. We have lives and things to do. We have
come on.
We've got partners and spouses and children and jobs. Fuck.
The hell?
Good God.
Come on. You like wrestling. You all like wrestling.
I just don't know.
That's all you need, you know?
I just want to say this. Other stuff. Thanks a lot, Joe Biden. Thanks a lot. This is it. We're only a couple of months into this whole thing, and he already got the gaming marathon heading off to the hills. Thanks a lot,
buddy. Yeah, it's amazing.
Appreciate that, Uncle Joe. Thanks for the big check, but I would rather have my gaming marathon back, you son of a bitch. In an interview with what did you think of this week's wrestling programming? I really liked all of the wrestling's Dynamite show.
I did
because basically the centerpiece of it is MJF and Jericho just cutting matching promos against each other, which you can't lose with that, right?
Well, didn't we kind of see that coming a long time ago? You know, a long time ago when this first started, we're like, eventually those two are going to be doing what they're doing now. So, and I'm glad they do it and they've done it like they've done it. I guess it was a little bumpy at times. It seemed like, but. But you're right. I think it is centered around that, and it should be. And no, wait a minute. The Ty Conti Ishida match was this past Wednesday, right?
I think that was. Was that also when the Young Bucks unmasked the guy, or was that the week before? I can't even remember.
I think that was the week before. If I'm not
okay, mistaken. Yeah, it was fun.
Everything kind of runs together after a while.
I know,
but it does. Yeah, it really does. But I was going to say the Ty, whenever that was. I think it was last Wednesday. Or the last Dynamite from when we were recording here, that match was really good. It really lived up to expectations, I thought. I mean, I love both of those. God, I love them. So both of them so much. Their social media is great. Their personalities seem great. They're really good in the ring. And I like them both. And I'm glad the match turned out like it did because I think it was good.
It was a good great, SmackDown. Actually. It was a good SmackDown. Once again, it's pretty much the Roman Reigns show, and they're still continuing the feud with Daniel Bryan and all that stuff. So that stuff looks pretty good.
What was the I fell out, man. I was tired the other night, and I never went back to see what the ending was. I fell asleep like 30 minutes before the ending.
They were cutting promos against each other in the ring again, and so I gotta go back and look and see what the exact promo was because I wasn't able to listen to it word for word. But they were just cutting promos against each other at the end of the ring, which is what they more or less do, right?
Daniel Bryan and Reigns
and then
Cesaro and all
Jey Uso's in there, yeah.
Yeah, and Jey Uso, yeah.
Let's see what we got. Ooh, four matches announced for AEW Dark Elevation. I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch that show. I just don't know.
Dark Elevation. Now, which one is this?
Chuck Taylor against Ray Phoenix and Matt Sydal versus Joey Janela. I guess. I don't know.
Now, what is this again? Is it Dark?
Yeah, it's Elevation. I think
it's only on Dark. It's like their little it's Dark pay-per-view.
I guess. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Okay, I'm so confused, but yeah, okay.
Oh, and it's going to be Bianca Belair against Bayley for the Women's Championship at WrestleMania Backlash, which is no longer just called Backlash.
So it's called what again? WrestleMania Backlash.
So we can double up on our WrestleMania. If you like WrestleMania, you're going to love WrestleMania Backlash.
It's marketing, pal. Come on.
Oh, we got a couple of pay-per-views to talk about here. Oh, new backstage correspondent joins WWE SmackDown. Former New England Patriots broadcaster Megan O'Brien has joined WWE as a backstage correspondent. Let's see. Megan O'Brien's lovely. How are they cutting talent but still affording to hire
somebody like
backstage?
Her? Yeah.
Oh, well, because they got rid of Charlie.
Oh, yeah. True.
There you go.
But I thought they'd already kind of filled those shoes, but maybe they didn't.
Well, Sarah Schreiber continued. They kind of just like push the food around the plate with her. They just kind of like do stuff with her and don't do stuff with her. Let's see. I'll go ahead and put a picture up of Miss O'Brien because we're pigs. Okay, I'm a pig.
I just don't know. I don't know her. I don't think I've seen what she looks like anyway.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you thought that dealing with Bill Belichick and he thought he was a massive asshole, we have a brand new asshole for you.
And
his name is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So, but baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Here's something you ain't never going to forget, baby. So if you thought dealing with the New England Patriots front office and those band of assholes were bad, we got a whole new brand of shit. Although we did get rid of Carano for you. So thank your lucky stars on that one.
Sounds like it.
Here, I'm going to put the
picture. Well, maybe she's just used to that shit, so she says, what the hell? You know?
I'm nonplussed. This doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah, thick skin, whatever.
Here's a picture of Megan. There she is. That's what you're going to see on your TV screen pretty soon.
Okay.
A version of that. So, yes, lovely, lovely girl. I'm sure she's had a good run with the Patriots now that they're dying as a franchise. Thank God!
I don't know if their run was long enough or not. It didn't seem like it.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of media coverage of them. I wish I would have heard more.
None at all.
Wasn't there a pretty good quarterback they had who wasn't drafted like in the first couple of rounds? He was like drafted later in the draft. I seem to recall something about that.
I heard his name once in a blue moon.
Tommy! Oh, fuck you.
Where was this media coverage of them back when they were in the Super Bowl against Steve McMichael and the Bears in 85?
That was huge. They were a big time.
I loved them back then with Grogan and all that gang, man.
Exactly, man. It's a huge deal. Fuck that. Let's see this one. NWA When Shadows Fall. When Our Shadows Fall, June 6th, only on pay-per-view. This is it. Billy Corgan.
I really wish I would come back to regular TV somewhere. I don't like that paying for the whatever it is. Fight TV, is that what they're on now?
Yeah. You have to pay for each episode now?
Something like that. I went to watch it the other night, and it's like it lets you watch like the first 3 minutes or something, then it just poop.
Billy Corgan's organization returned from the pandemic-induced break after March 21st back for the Attack pay-per-view. Headlined by NWA World Champion Nick Aldis defeating Aaron the Idol Stevens and National Openweight Champion Trevor Murdoch defeating Chris Adonis, formerly known as Chris Masters. Similar to that show, When Our Shadows Fall is going to be an afternoon pay-per-view starting at 4:00 Eastern. Okay. This is for you guys that like to eat this is like your Florida types, so like to eat your dinner at 5. You can just go ahead and have your pay-per-view at 4, right?
What day is this on, like a Saturday or Sunday, I guess?
June the 6th is going to be on a... Da, 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 da. You always ask me the tough questions here, David.
I know, man. I'm there. I'm like, it's one of those 60 Minutes reporters.
You are. They're getting on to us about our dated references.
Well, 60 Minutes is still on, so but it's still there.
It is a Sunday, June 6th, which I think is also that's the anniversary of D-Day as well, isn't it? I think so.
6th, yeah, sure enough.
The 5th or the 6th, one of those.
I think it is a 6th.
Based on their recent TV, the direction seems to be Aldis defending his title against Murdoch. Yeah. That's a tough one. Because, The best thing that Nick Aldis has going for him is he looks like the heavyweight champion of the world. Would you
agree? Every goddamn inch of that son of a gun, man.
And Trevor Murdoch looks like the guy so disappointed when they tell him he can't go back to the buffet.
Poor Trev.
He's like,
you know, here's my thoughts on that one. Can I say something about that one?
Please.
I think, you know.
Your analysis.
It's not an analysis. Maybe it is, but it's just, that would to me be a great match if they built it up like a Daniel Bryan thing, you know, with Trevor, you know, him, what you just described, you know, the good old boy, that kind of thing. And here you got Nick Aldis, who was, you know, looks like he was sculpted out to be a freaking wrestler, you know. And,
Absolutely. And
I think they could make a big thing out of that. But, and maybe they have, but who the fuck's seen it, you know, because they're on this pay-per-view bullshit. So, yeah,
it's hard to build shit up if you can't do it. Trevor Murdoch looks like a guy you can walk to any truck stop in America and find that guy, right?
No shit, man.
Doesn't matter.
He does. He really does. And I think he's been in this business long enough that he's earned a title run, maybe not a long one, I don't know, but you know, who knows? He can talk, he can work the mic, so I don't know. I that would be cool to let him have a little run with that.
At that truck stop that's over toward the county line, they got like a bunch of different things you can buy that are already hot. They got like meatloaf sandwiches, and Trevor Murdoch looks like a guy that'd be so happy to find a meatloaf sandwich at a TA.
God dang, it's about time I found one of these.
Whoa, meatloaf sandwich? Whoa. I'm gonna get two. Yeah. TV champion, the Pope takes on Tyrus, Thunder Rosa against Camille. Okay, I'm glad Camille's still being
Camille!
Additionally, tag team champion Stevens and JR Kratos, I don't know, have been showing signs of
dissension. Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I got to look and see who JR Kratos is, but he's part of the championship, tag team championship team, but they're an elected tag team right now. There are signs of dissension, Brian.
Uh-oh. Intrigue. What are we talking about here? What is this? Again,
it's NWA's pay per view. When our
NWA's pay per view, okay, Shadows Fall, okay.
When our Shadows Fall on June the 6th, 4 o'clock, only on Fight TV and maybe on BitTorrent. I'm not sure.
Is that some 80s hair band reference song, like the rest of them have been? When our shadows fall,
like Billy Corgan really loves his 80s way more than you and I do.
Now I'll be the first to tell you. Yes, I love my 80s. I sent you that song the other day or the other month, whenever it was. I heard that song Nicole by that group Point Blank that I heard just out of the fucking blue. So yes, I love that shit. But really, everything, man. Back for the Attack. What was the other one?
Doing the Docking Thing is their fucking theme song.
Well, but I will say this: if they're going to do that. Got to be rocking with Docking, bro.
No, I did love that. And I was pissed off when they stopped Docking as their, you know, as their theme song.
That was so perfect. That
Into
really
the Fire
was so
kicked ass. Into the Fire is like
that's Into the Fire.
It's like
yes,
99% of the time Billy Corgan's just this like bloated dickhead, but this one time he actually nails it, and then he goes away from it. You know?
Yeah. Then he goes with Pantera, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Pantera's fine.
But Into the Fire, it just fit that opening so perfectly.
There's Kratos. That's the guy. That's the guy that Aaron the Idol Stevens having some issues with as his tag team partner.
So is this guy known as somebody else, or is this somebody they brought up as an indie guy? Do you
I'm
know?
I'm not aware that he was known as anybody, but he looks like Redneck Batista, doesn't he?
That's why I was going to say something like that.
It's like if Stone Cold Steve Austin and Batista had a baby. Oh, let me see. I don't know who he is. Pro Wrestling Fandom says that he is the love child of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Dave Batista. No.
God dang, who knew?
He debuted February 26, 2012 in California for Pro Wrestling Bushido. And I think he was trained by Josh Barnett from Supreme Pro Wrestling Academy.
Okay.
That's a pretty good pedigree.
Yeah, yeah.
He is 38 years old, and he's only been known by JR Kratos, billed as being 6 feet 2 inches tall, 286 pounds, pal.
Looks it right there, anyway.
During his career, Kratos has enjoyed championship success, holding several tag team and heavyweight titles while working in Supreme Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Revolution, Premier Wrestling, Gold Rush Pro Wrestling, and All Pro Wrestling. His current title reign began while working for United Wrestling Network, where the November 10th pay-per-view of UWN Primetime Live credited his team with Aaron Stevens in defeating Eli Drake and James Storm to become the new NWA World Tag Team Champions. I saw enough of NXT to know that they, speaking of 80s references, they had some sort of gimmick. You know, obviously they're doing the thing with Cameron Grimes where he's like rich and he's buying a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And he had bid on an expensive baseball card or something. And the auction house goes, we got a bid after the auction was over. We had no choice but to accept it. It came from a Mr. Ted DiBiase. They literally did that on NXT.
I saw that. Yeah.
Cameron, you saw it, and Cameron stewed over it. He was like,
hey, DiBiase.
Is it true that Adam's going to be on, he's going to address the NXT audience next week? I think I saw that somewhere.
I missed that. Maybe it's, yeah, you know, Adam
is supposed
probably
to
that
him.
Time. It's got to be, you know. Come on.
Has he been away for a while? Has he been hurt?
No, you said Adam is in Cole.
Cole, yes, Bay. Yeah. Bay.
I don't think we've heard from him since that O'Reilly thing, have we? That the last O'Reilly's big duel.
O'Reilly's Auto Parts, where he got the wrong grade of oil for his
vehicle. Yeah, right. And he was bitching at him, and he took the wrong step and fell down into the well where they, you know, do all the work when they change the oil and stuff. You know,
this is a very complex story.
It is. That's why he needs to address everybody.
I fell in the well, baby.
What is it? The pit. You know, the pit that they worked the when they changed the shit.
Is that what he fell into?
Yes, the pit when he was arguing with him. Yes.
Bam, baby. Let's see.
That's a long fall.
Pay per view tonight, as we record this Sunday night, is Impact Wrestling's Rebellion. And I've seen some of the pay per view. Now, there is a spoiler, so I'll give you 3 seconds to pause or go away or go eat a sandwich or whatever you want to do. 1, 2, 3. It appears that they think Big Cass is going to debut for Impact tonight.
Okay.
If that's worth your $39.99, go with God.
$39.99, that would be a
no. I don't know if that's what it costs, but it seemed like I was looking up and it seemed like that number stuck with me.
You know, if it was 30, I would have to maybe think about it for a second, because I did look at the card and a couple of actually a few of those matches intrigued me. So I'd like to kind of catch up on it, but again,
It is a $39.99 buy-in.
Ah.
I think you get a $4 credit from Fight TV, or maybe that's over, so don't hold me to that. But anyway,
okay.
100% money-back guarantee.
Really?
It says 100% money-back guarantee. That's what it says right there on the website, because I'm looking right there. So that's what they're doing. This is part of the card. And it did – I mean, you're right. I think it did look like a pretty good card from what I saw. Let me take a look. Brian Myers against Matt Cardona, Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack versus Eric Young, Diener, Joe Doring, and Rhino. Oh, God, Rhino. God, could you just give it up, Rhino? I mean, I love him, and we met him and everything, and he was wonderful, and he was a lovely man, but Jesus, it's 2021.
And I thought his neck was really bad back then. He wouldn't even let, you know.
He was just worried that I was going to, like, put my arm around him and pat him on the neck or something like that.
Something, yeah.
And I'm like, no, yeah, I wouldn't do that because A, you would beat the shit out of me, and B, no.
Right?
No, I'm not going to do that. So,
right.
Yeah. I just think it's he and Tommy Dreamer probably need to go ahead and just figure out something else.
Yeah, you know.
I saw Tommy Dreamer
or something.
I saw Tommy Dreamer on the Backstage Confidential or the Dark Side of the Ring Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the one with New Jack, and he didn't really add a lot to the show. He really didn't.
Well, yeah.
Hey, it's Conrad. Hey, Tommy, how are you? Okay. What do we not know about New Jack? He's a really funny guy, and he's a nice guy. Well, okay, thanks.
It's fine. We'll be back after our sponsor.
Yeah. Last man standing match is Trey Miguel versus Sammy Callahan. Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championship, Tasha Steele and Kira Hogan against Jordan Grace and a partner to be announced.
I know who that partner is. They've already announced it.
You got a spoiler? What is it?
I do. I don't know the spoiler.
Yeah.
But it's not really a spoiler. I've seen it on the match card. It's Rachel Ellery, girl.
It is Rachel. That's right. She is making her debut, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's been away for a while. She's been on the shelf for a minute, as they say.
Yeah, and then she was, you know, let go by NXT.
Do you remember when? Do you remember when I said when we were talking there to who were we talking to? We're talking to a girl, the Australian chick that I loved so good,
T-Neil.
Yeah, we're talking to T-Neil, and she was getting ready to wrestle like Rachel up in Pittsburgh, like the next
day.
We're down on Irish Potato Road, and I said, please. Please, it's okay if you beat her, but please don't hurt her. And you remember what Tennille said to me? She goes, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
She went from Australia to like northern Brooklyn, you know.
She was the nanny.
Yeah.
But we had a much better conversation with her at WrestleCade.
Oh, yes.
Because I wanted my picture taken with her because I was less fat, and then we were able to talk and chat about her debuting in Concord, and what she said was her favorite thing that she's actually done in wrestling, and she got a huge pop that night.
Wasn't it bigger than you thought it would be? Didn't you think it was?
It was, but I was, as the kids say, I was marked out completely. I was like, holy shit, this is
great. That was like the whole, I mean, wasn't that after the whole Emelina stuff?
It was, and then there had been like rumors, and then she'd kind of gone away, and people had forgotten about her, and that this is like one of the very few things that ROH did 100% right. When they rolled her out and debuted her at that thing, and it was like, oh my God, that was like one of the few things you could go, there's no way anybody could have done that any better.
That was
amazing.
But I think, you know, I will say this, not just because we were in the audience, but I think where they did that, the area they did this, the geographical area they did that, I think helped too. I think everybody is savvy enough to know who she is and how cool it was that she was there after all that bullshit, and they got it, you know. So I think that helped with the big pop too.
It was huge. It was a nice night for her, and I was happy that she got that. And she was one of those that also chimed in about Carano getting fired.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Ace Austin, your Impact X Division champion for whatever the X Division is. We can't figure it out. Yeah. We have to keep having it.
Let me guess. TJP. TJP's got to be in here somewhere, right?
It's like you're psychic. You're a booking genius.
God.
You're a goddamn booking genius. TJP and Josh Alexander in a three-way dance with Ace Austin for your X Division championship. Which again,
I don't know who Josh Alexander is.
I don't know either, but I'm sure he's a fine man and he does a good job, and it's going to be whatever. Yeah. They're going to do flippy shit. I'm sure it's going to be that.
Flippy shit.
Impact Knockout Championship.
And shit.
Speaking of Tennille Dashwood, she'll be challenging Deonna Purrazzo for that Impact Knockout Championship on pay-per-view, that's like baby.
That's like an ROH rematch of years gone by.
The Impact World Tag Team Championship. We don't give these guys enough love. I should be watching these guys more. I like Finn Juice because I'm such a Juice Robinson mark, and I should be watching more of them. They're really good. Finn Juice, your Impact World Tag Team Champions, do take on the Good Brothers.
Now, who's his partner? Who's the Finn part of Finn Juice?
Oh, David Finley.
David Finley, that's right. I knew it was Finley. I just couldn't think of who it was.
Finn Juice against the Good Brothers. Did you? I got to say, the Eddie Kingston and John Moxley part of Dynamite was really funny when they.
That's just funny, man.
I got to say.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's funny.
I was not. After the whole thing with the debacle with the non exploding ring and all that shit, I was like, I don't know about these two guys together because it's always going to have the stench of that failed angle on them.
Yes.
I've come to realize those two guys are money. You put those two guys together and they're fucking great.
Well, I think it just proves how good they are that, you know, that they've kind of worked their way out of that hole already to me. I mean, I don't think of that bullshit now when I see them like I did the first week or two after that, you know. I think they're so good they kind of worked themselves out of it to me. Man.
The title versus title match. It's AEW World Champion Kenny Omega with his friend Don Callis against Impact World Champion Rich Swann. I don't see a universe in which Rich Swann ends up winning this match.
I can't imagine. No disrespect to Rich Swann, because he, you know, the dude's good in the ring, but I just can't imagine him holding both titles, beating Omega for the title, and then holding both titles at one time. I can't, unless somebody can show me something I'm missing here.
I don't see it. I don't think it's good for the business. The only thing I can think of them doing is, you know, trying to swerve everybody, but I hope they're not so into just swerving people for swerving people.
Well, you know, unless you're going, here's the thing, man. Don't you think that ever since the whole NWO thing with Hogan, the whole swerving of people really has to fucking work unless it has to go, it has to be on that level. You know, people have to appreciate it for what it is and go with it. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is the NWO Hogan thing just put everything on such a high bar on stuff like this.
I would say that's correct. Yeah.
And if you're going to go the Rich Swann thing, you better let that, he better be fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out of the shell in WWF, you know, back in the day.
That ain't happening.
No, I can't see it. I can't see it, man.
That ain't happening.
If it was God dang L.A. Knight, Eli Drake, I'd be like, okay, roll with that son of a bitch. Let's go. You know, I'm just not sold on Rich Swann doing something like that. But if he's hiding this stuff that we're missing and he brings it out, then let's go. Bring it on. But I don't know, man.
I think they'll have a good technical match. I just don't know if they've been able to really establish the heat between these two individuals.
Right, that too.
Personal issues make money. I'm Jerry Jarrett, you know, and I don't see a personal issue other than you're with a big promotion, I'm with a smaller promotion, you think you're better than me, and that's about all they got, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Trevor Murdoch Aldis deal. You know, I just don't think if you built this thing up, it might have something there, you know, but this whole, it's like it just kind of came out of nowhere and all of a sudden it's, am I correct? This is for both belts, right? Whoever wins gets both belts.
They haven't been real clear on that, but I think it is for unification.
I mean, that's a pretty big fucking deal, don't you think?
You could do it like this. I mean, I could see a situation where Rich Swann somehow by hook or by crook ends up winning it, taking the thing to Impact, and then there's like this whole angle with Tony Khan going, no way in hell I'm letting some Impact guy. And then they try six different ways from Sunday as Tony Khan sends man after man after man to go get his belt, and they're unsuccessful. I mean, that could be like an ongoing storyline, I guess. You could do something like that.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I say, you know, if they do it right, then yeah. I mean, I'm just going completely, and I think you are too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're just going on the fact of how we know Rich Swann as a guy on the mic and that sort of thing. You know, he's great in the ring. He's athletic. He knows the moves. He's you know, he's really good. And I've followed him for a long time now, but I just don't know if he's got the it factor to hold two titles like that in something like this that could be very pivotal for one or two, both companies at this point, you know?
And it's you talk about them not, when we talk about them not having personal issues between the two of them, look at the difference between something like Rich Swann and Kenny Omega versus something like MJF versus Jericho, where those two obviously have personal issues with each other, or at least able to play that up, and that makes it fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe, I don't know. I think that might be the only thing missing here. If they do that, it's like they'd have to, if Swann does win, it's almost like they'd have to like backtrack the storyline, you know?
Yeah. Like
almost.
This is why I'm pissed. I mean, if you have to explain.
Right.
It's weird.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, Rich Swann's, but you know, he's obviously been in the news before. I know people deserve a second chance and all that stuff. I don't know this. You may know, but I don't really recall any. Has he gotten in any trouble since that one time with?
I don't think so. I don't know if he was charged or convicted of anything back then.
I don't think she ever pressed charges.
Yeah, I think that was the real issue.
And it was just kind of a you just assume kind of stuff. So
and
you
then
know
he comes out to WrestleCade and they play the entire song All Night Long by Lionel Richie and everybody is clapping. I'm like, oh, okay, well I guess we're over this.
I guess
he's forgiven.
Yeah. So other than that, I have nothing against Rich Swann. I just don't know. But we'll see. You know, if it plays out right, then I hope it works. I hope it turns out to be intriguing for everybody.
Here's the end of SmackDown that you were asking about. After winning the tag team match, After winning the tag team match, Daniel Bryan got on the match and called out Reigns. Uso attempted to attack Cesaro, who brutalized Roman Reigns' right-hand man, while the Universal Champion never emerged to defend his cousin from Cesaro's beatdown. Following the commercial break, Uso was interviewed backstage about what transpired. Uso still remained loyal to Reigns and said that Cesaro was going to get destroyed by Reigns in the future. Reigns' counsel, Paul Heyman, later cut a promo revealing Reigns would answer Cesaro's challenge by the end of the night. And at the end of the Smacky Downy, Reigns came out and told Cesaro he's the one that issues the challenges, and he challenged Daniel Bryan to a match, title match, on next week's episode of SmackDown. Reigns added a stipulation: if Bryan loses next week, he never wants to see Bryan on SmackDown again. Bryan accepted it, and that's how we went off the air.
Mm.
So that is the intrigue going into WrestleMania Backlash or whatever the fuck we're calling it.
When is that? When is Backlash or whenever?
Oh, you're doing it to me again,
Bickle. I know, man. You're my go-to. It's not like I have a computer in front of me or something. God dang.
I know, it's true. There's not one in your hand. So Sunday, May the 16th, pal, which is 1 week after Mother's Day. We are 2 weeks from Mother's Day, so take care of your mama. Go do something on Amazon or something.
Yeah.
At the very, very least, do that, for God's sakes.
I'll be helping my mom arrange her house.
Well, that's something.
Like 4 days or so after that. So that's
not nothing.
No, it's not.
In an interview with Sports Illustrated, The Undertaker spoke about how it felt not to take part in WrestleMania 37. I had to work through that. It's a little difficult since when WrestleMania starts, I start second-guessing myself. So much of my history revolves around WrestleMania. There was a bit of an emotional tug at my heartstrings watching this year, but it's time for me to step aside and let this generation have the reins and go where they're going to go. Mark is also a big part of the Stone Cold Steve Austin documentary. There you go.
Should be.
The Undertaker.
Are you interested at all in the Roddy Piper one that's coming up?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Tonight as we speak.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any new information or anything, but I'm going to be interested to see how they portray it.
Yeah. See, I think that's what's held me back from going back and watching Austin. It's like, I don't know. Is there stuff in there that they'll tell that I'm not that you weren't aware of? Or
he's a bit more candid about the stuff that he was doing when he was champ and his mindset and stuff firsthand. You do get a lot of that that he hasn't really talked about previously.
Okay.
And his brother gets very emotional when he talks about Steve nearly breaking his neck and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It was pretty crazy.
Okay. What helps. Yeah.
The Undertaker also discussed his previous comments where he said the current WWE product is a little soft. I wasn't bashing our talent. Our talent is extraordinary. What they're physically able to do, I couldn't imagine doing that back in the day. I have a lot of respect for our roster, but I came from a different time period. My point was, it was tough back then. I remember Triple H first came in and he was shocked that I had black electrical tape on my boots. It was just a different time. We didn't even have trainers on the road. If you had torn gear, you either wore it torn or you tried to fix it yourself. I'm so proud to be part of the evolution of our business. The industry has come so far, and now when we give people their shit back, it comes in a really nice trash bag. Oh, sorry. I made up that last part.
But the thing about it is, it sounds like it could fit right in that little speech.
While appearing on Ebro in the Morning, Snoop Dogg said WWE felt some kind of way about the appearance he made on AEW Dynamite this January. They felt some kind of way, too. Let me tell you this, though. Snoop Dogg ain't no wrestler. He's bigger than that. You have to understand that. This is the dynamics of what happened. I had a show on TBS called Go Big Show during COVID where people can't really watch.
I was going to say, that's exactly why. Yeah.
That's it. Or some circus type of shit. Cody Rhodes is one of the judges on the show, and he's actually one of the top dogs at the AEW Wrestling Network. Yeah, he's vice president. He's one of 27 vice presidents in AEW.
Yeah, come on, Snoop. Get it right.
As a promotional vehicle for the show, they had me go on so I could co-promote the show. And then I would get word from them, WB, saying, you fucking with them? We're going to have to push pause on your ass for a minute. Push pause on your ass for a minute. I said, cool. They pushed pause for about 2 weeks. And they said, hey, man, we got this video game. We need you. Once y'all told me to push pause, that would be double. I'll be on the new wrestling game. Snoop Dogg was added to the WWE Champions mobile game in February, but whether or not that's the video game he was talking about is not known.
Okay.
They are adding some new content.
Take his word for it.
They are adding some content. WWE Network News reporting the following premiere dates for upcoming Peacock WWE Network content. Grab your calendar, Bryant, and jot down these dates.
Hold on. Let me grab it. It's over here. Got it.
On May the 2nd, you got WWE Untold, two dudes with attitudes. That's Shawn Michaels and Diesel. Again, I don't know what could be untold about those two human beings at this time, but I'm sure there's something.
Gosh, I'm just, you know, I'm just Shawn Michaels. I don't know why. I think it's just I'm tired of him. I'm just tired of seeing his name, tired of hearing about him. I just wish he would just go do something behind the scenes somewhere.
May 9th, which is Mother's Day, WWE Chronicle, Damian Priest. All right.
Okay.
May the 11th, Best of WWE, that's WrestleMania matches. May the 16th, two premieres. Icons with Rob Van Dam, and then the WrestleMania Backlash, of course. May the 17th, Wrestling Challenge, classic content. May the 18th, the Best of WWE with Rob Van Dam. May 23rd, Best of WWE with Andre the Giant. There's that. Ric Flair posted a tweet responding to the interview where his friend Steve Mongo McMichael revealed his ALS diagnosis. Mongo, you were our hero long before you came to us in wrestling, a Super Bowl champion and a natural-born horseman. You more than lived up to your reputation. The pearly gates are something a lot of us contemplate. Keep up the good fight. We love you. Very nice. Bleacher Report had an interview with John Cena, who you rarely hear from these days. He's really doing a good job of underexposure after being overexposed for so long, right?
Yeah. He is that new host of the Wipeout, that new Wipeout version of Wipeout.
Yeah. They did release a sneak preview of the Roddy Piper biography, so that'll be interesting. I'd be interested to see how that – I really – you know, Roddy Piper is like a very – I don't want to say he's a forgotten character because he was one of the huge stars, but as they've continued to push so many different guys from the 80s and from that golden era, if you will, in WWE, he's one of those guys that's like maybe not up there with Macho and Hogan. Maybe they don't – that's what it feels like to me. I could be wrong about that.
I don't know. He – to me, and this is just going by my experience, basically, anytime I would bring up the name Roddy Piper, it would get pretty much the same reaction that I would get if I did say like a Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah. I think and I guess what I'm saying is to my non wrestling type friends that would know his name just from being so popular and crossing over into movies and blah 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 TV commercials and stuff. But I don't know. I think he would be right on the same plane with Macho Man, to be honest.
Jeez. Yeah. I hope so. I'll always say that when he died, that I didn't think he got his full due from that company.
Now, I'll agree with you on that. I definitely agree because we've talked about that. I think he got, I won't say he got shit on, but it was underwhelming to say the least.
He died within like a couple of months of Dusty, and they just celebrated Dusty to the moon, but they really didn't say that much about Roddy. And I think, and I hope, I don't want to think it was because he was on the outs with the company, but it may have been because he was on the outs with the company.
Why? Maybe so. I don't really know where he stood with them back then. I don't know. He's definitely one of those guys I wish I would have met. I regret not meeting him.
During an appearance on the Wrestling Perspective podcast, Scott D'Amore addressed the possibility of a TNA show happening. There have been conversations.
What?
Yes. Are we ever going to get a TNA reunion show? Bryant, would you?
Well, that's what we want.
Exactly.
Everybody's been begging for how long now? We want a fucking TNA reunion show.
From the people that keep reminding you of Katie Vick comes, we don't need a TNA. Who would be the people, Bryant, that you would book on a TNA reunion show? First of all, if Don West isn't there, fuck you. Second of all, if Mike Tenay isn't there, fuck you. Third of all, Jerry Jarrett should be invited back just to laugh at all of you fuckers.
Just to stand right over there and just point his finger every time they brought somebody on stage.
Vince Russo should be invited back. Goldilocks should be there.
Yes.
All of the dups should be there. I'm just going to say that right there.
I can't tell you how disappointed I'd be if that didn't happen.
Alan Jones Styles has to be part of it. Amazing Red has to be a part of it.
I'm trying to think of
all the great NWA Wildside talent.
Samoa Joe
needs to be a part of all of that shit. Abyss, of course, Abyss.
Abyss, good Lord, Abyss.
Eric Young, EC3, absolutely. Bobby Roode.
Beer that money. Whole Canadian, what was that whole Canadian little faction they had with him Team and Canada. Scott D'Amore? Yeah.
Team Canada with Petey Williams and all those guys. Absolutely.
And Bobby Roode. Yeah.
Bobby Roode. You got to have those guys. All of those guys get invited back. Gail Kim gets invited back. Obviously, she's in the Hall of Fame. Shit, you got to have her back, shit, right?
Hell yeah. She's probably Miss Impact overall. I mean, if you had to pick one female wrestler that represented TNA / Impact.
Right. The beautiful people. You'd have to have the beautiful people.
Yeah, yes, part of the definitely.
Anybody?
What angle? What
yeah, so. I mean, a good portion of our Kurt Angle's career was there, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
Of course, Jerry Jarrett. Of course, his wife. They would both of them would have to be there.
Dudleys, yes.
The Dudleys would have to be there. God, we're just piling bodies on top of bodies in this thing.
Okay, I got one for you. What about the dude that did the Macho Man? He's ROH now. Come on.
Oh, Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal. Yeah, thank you.
Jay Lethal.
Got to have him in there.
Bring all the guys that helped fuck up the company, like Ric Flair, Eric Bischoff, Kevin Nash. All those guys have to be back. Bring back the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks were in
yeah, they were there for a minute, weren't they?
Yeah, the Matt Buck and Nick Buck. That's what they called them. That's literally what Russo decided to call those motherfuckers.
I fell for that for about a second.
Sting.
Really? That last name's Buck? How weird. That's great. Sting, that Jeff worked out Hardy, just great.
Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, and Sting. I'll have to be back there for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes. Sting, yes.
I'm trying that to me.
Oh, whatchamacallit? Chris Harris and James Storm, right?
Chris Harris, and, yeah, the Beer Money and Aces and Eights. All
and Beer Money, yes. And Aces and Eights, yes. Yes.
Do you invite Drew back? Does Drew Galloway get a return to TNA?
Oh, it seemed like he was hardly even in there.
Wasn't he champion at one time, though? Well, didn't he have
I think so. It's like he came in, was champion, and left. I mean, that's what it seems like. I may be wrong, but
I agree with that. The TNA.
I don't know. I don't know if he'd be back or not. I mean, why not? Shit. If he is a champion, that's deserving.
But you better have Don West. That's the most important element of this whole thing.
What about Josh Matthews?
Yeah, fuck Josh Matthews. But yeah, you probably got to have him. It's fine. I don't care.
He got to, man. He's been there forever.
As long as they bring Alberto back, because he was such a jerk to them.
Yeah, Alberto. Yeah, that one turned out just perfectly, didn't it?
Any closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive? Ooh, Alive.
Ooh, ooh. Well, I don't think so. I think I'm good. I could probably go with a couple of things, but I'll save it.
Bank it. Bryant is followable on the Twitter and the IG. He is at Bryce Sports, BRY Sports. He is also Stanley Jackson 23 on the Tiki Taki. I am on Twitter at Brett Whitmire. The show is on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. And I'm on Instagram at BWForReels, BDUB number 4, REELZ. You can support what we do by shopping at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. Just go to katievick.com. It doesn't change the price of the stuff that you're buying, and it helps us out. And go buy something for your mama. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.